안녕하세요.
왜
안녕하세요.
We're your hosts of the pod. I'm Lois.
I'm Irene.
And that's my laundry that's going on right now. Hopefully you don't hear it.
No, we're living in real life things. Doing real life things while we're recording.
Also feel a little rusty. When's the last time we filmed? It's been like a couple weeks. I feel a little, you know, but we're good.
Spoiler,
we're good.
We do things in advance.
So yeah, we do things in advance, and then we catch up, and then we, anyway, we're going to do our snack spotlight first. What do we have with us today?
We have, cookies and cream flavor. Viewers that are watching on YouTube, we're trying to show you the packaging, but there's nothing on the
outside. I've had Oh Yes before. It's kind of like a... like a clustered little pastry-ish.
Yeah.
Like, think choco pie, but...
but like square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone else in person.
I've had the OG version, but I've never had the cookies and cream.
Yeah.
Cookies, so this will be fun.
Honestly, but, these episodes are like excuses for us to try snacks that we haven't tried in a while.
Oh, that we just want to munch on. Do you want to open yours?
Yes. Let me do that.
Okay. I'll do ASMR of yours.
I don't know if
that's it. Oh, this is cookies and cream. Oh, yes. Cheers.
Ding. All right, let's take one bite.
Silent bite. Makes no sound.
Oh, it's really good.
Mmm.
We got the whole box too,
it's
so.
It's not too sweet.
You know, us Koreans, we love that.
Mm-hmm.
My gift to you.
I thought it would be. I thought it'd be way sweeter, actually. So this is surprisingly not as sweet as I thought.
All right, want to talk about our drink?
So I found this at H Mart. I feel like people have seen this before. I think this is the Kimino. I'm saying that right. Kimino. There's different flavors, but I got us the main one. I think this is plum. Because there was a peach one and it looked too sweet, and we had like a peach drink before. So, I'm gonna try it.
Oh, I don't know if our viewers would know about that one.
The what?
The peach drink.
The peach drink?
Because it was a previous episode that we are redoing this episode.
No, the peach drink, just kidding.
Oh, spoiler, you guys. So, actually, this episode we're filming right now is a retake.
No.
We actually filmed this.
Wasn't that for the BTS episode?
No.
Oh my god,
guys.
This is why we have each other.
Let's jump into it real quick. So, this episode topic is about my disability. And spoiler, we actually filmed this a couple weeks ago.
We had a technical difficulty, so we're refilming.
Yes. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
It was near my birthday. And she also surprised me with cake and presents. So I think we're going to drop some little, like, blooper videos from that episode.
Maybe.
But this is a redo of that.
Yeah, but it's been a few weeks, and I feel like it'll be a good refresher, and it'll still feel like what we filmed before.
Exactly.
And so I'm excited to film this and talk about this.
This is a, what is this, like, movie magic, but for YouTube and on Spotify and Apple.
Oh my god,
yeah.
Okay. You open yours, and I'll put my mic against it and do a little ASMR moment for your drink. Okay, open. Oh. Oh, girl, it's sparkly. Okay.
Woo!
Okay, John. I usually don't make that much sound drinking, but... oh, that's interesting. Do you like it? Be honest.
It's healthy. Like, I feel like I'm doing my body a service.
Oh, yeah. It's very healthy-ish tasting. It kind of has, like, a vinegary taste.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Sparkling water. There's no vinegar, though. But I think because it's, like, the plum.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how there's, like, the... I don't even know what it's called, so never mind. But, like, the plum seasoning that we use, or, like, the plum vinegar seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Reminds me of that.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
I mean, it's good for our digestion. It feels like a poppy.
Like a probiotics, like, spelter
or
whatever.
Anyways,
okay.
Guys, we are back. We're
back. And we are filming episode 8. So today we're talking about disability. We don't have a fancy title yet. Maybe we will release this. But we thought that this would be a fun thing to talk about. And something that isn't talked about a lot, at least within our circle of friends, and at least just in our everyday conversations. It's not just something we lightly throw out there.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel like we both have a lot to say on the topic because you have your lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a special education teacher, so my work involves working with people with disabilities on the daily. So I just feel like we have very interesting perspectives that we bring to the table. So yeah, I did want to kind of highlight Irene's story though and let her share kind of her story on her diagnosis and kind of what it was like living with a disability.
Yeah.
And kind of focus on your childhood, I guess, and start from there. And then we can kind of go into adulthood.
Yeah.
But yeah, just for the people who don't know and for the people who are curious.
And as I share, feel free to like ask if anything comes up. I'm just going to go at it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
childhood was very interesting because, you know, like anyone with anything, like when you are living with something and then you're like, wait, what about everyone else? Because like you quickly realize like how much of a, I don't know if this is the right term, but like an eyesore you are in like societal standards, because it's like in school I was like the only one with a disability and I was like, oh, okay, well I'm definitely different. That's great. And there was like a lot of accommodations like that like I got, right? Because when I was a child, like I went through a lot of my childhood was actually like in surgery rooms, because I had to do a lot of operations.
Could you actually share what you were born with? And, if you could give context.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I was born with something called cerebral palsy, and that came from, I was a preemie baby, so I was actually 2 months early in being delivered. So I guess I just wanted to be out into the world, you know. But through that, if you actually look at my legs, like one leg is like a little bit longer than the other leg, so it kind of creates like a imbalance. But what I have specifically is it ties into like my muscles, my body, like my brain and my body kind of have a small disconnect, because like the body is not following what the mind is telling it to do. Like, so when I walk, there's like a little bit of a limp. I would like to call that like a cool little, you know, like a swagger walk. But yeah, but anyways, yeah, in childhood, I had to have a lot of surgeries for that, just to get into a place where I could be like mobile, because I had to be in a wheelchair a lot too. So my version of play when I was younger is like I'm in a wheelchair and I'm like watching people play, like watching people run. And I was like, oh, like, one day, you know? Because, like, I guess when you're younger, during recess, like, you get to, like, just go crazy with your friends. And I'm just, like, you know, in my chair. And I would play things like cards, because cards are a sedentary game. So I could just, like, you know, so there's a lot of people watching and stuff like that. And then a lot of, like, accommodations from teachers being, like, you know, like, maybe that's how I was, like, a teacher's pet for a little bit, because, like, I always had to be around, like, my teachers, because I couldn't really do certain things. But as I evolved, I went from a wheelchair to braces, leg braces. And I remember when I was younger, I was, like, so ashamed of those, because I think when you're a child, like, all you want to do is, like, blend in. And guys, don't worry, I don't believe in blending in anymore. But when you're a child, all you want to do is just, like, not stick out. And these leg braces were like, they're like little plastic, like, I don't know how to explain it, like they're like morphed, or like I got like these molds of my feet that they turned into like these plastic like little like things for my legs. So I'm basically how you would wear them is you would wear the leg braces, and then on top of that you would put your socks on and then your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine like first of all, there's not a lot of shoes that fit that comfortably, you know, because the leg braces are very like bulky.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're not very comfortable either. So I would get like blisters on my feet because I'm not walking normally. And so like it would rub against the plastic and it was just like really like, painful. And on top of that, it's not cute, you know? So I had to wear those and, you know, it made me feel very robotic because it's very stiff. It's not like moldable to your feet. And I just remember like, dude, I just want to not have to wear these. And even if I walk horribly, I'd rather just walk with my regular shoes. But I guess it was that emotion plus like in childhood, like I got used to people staring.
Mm.
Like, a lot of times, like I might not even know them, and like I feel like they get a free pass into looking into like, oh, like she's weird because
mm.
she's definitely like she has something going on, you know. And I feel like for the longest time, it took me a long time to come to terms with the fact that like whether I like it or not, like people will have the liberty to judge me like about that without like my permission, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like really tough because like how I would equate that is other people who have other things in their lives, like some things, not all, but some things can be remain hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and other things may not, but like some things, there are some things in life where whatever you're going through, you can hide it and you can reveal it,
mm-hmm.
you know, at your discretion. But I feel like for mine, it's like it's out there for the world to see, and I felt that that was very unfair.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very like hung up on that for a long time, and it actually took like it has to be over 20 plus years to like find peace with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a daily battle, but yeah, that was like really tough like when I was younger too. And yeah, I think just navigating that as a growing like individual, like going through like growth spurts and things like that, on top of like this physical limitation, and then I think what amplified it even more is like you know, a parent's love is very apparent, right? In that way, because like, I think my parents, they felt like some kind of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
That like it was brought upon me, and so like all they ever wanted to do is fix it,
mm-hmm.
find solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it comes from a good place, but I think that instilled in me, okay, there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And like I love my parents for this, but like when I was younger too, like you know, someone would always be watching my back,
mm-hmm.
to see how I'm walking. So I feel like I would always be evaluated.
Mm.
Like I'm in like some kind of like room, and I'm like this alien that's like being watched all the time to be corrected.
Mm.
And it's kind of like
would they like kind of outrightly correct you, or kind of tell you,
yeah.
oh, try to walk straighter, or like you're not doing this enough, or kind of,
yeah, they'd be like, okay, let's do that again. Let's
mm.
try to like. Think in your head, like, walk straight,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, we'd be out in public, and sometimes it's, like, you know, I don't want to be doing that, but, like,
mm-hmm.
like, I'd be with friends, and, like, we depart, and then, like, you know, parents, like, okay, like, let's, like, work on this, you know,
mm-hmm. and,
like, my dad is, like, a lovely, like, wonderful figure that, like, you know, bared a lot of the physical, aspects of like that, because he was very on top of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was more of, he was like the strict disciplinary,
mm-hmm.
even in my physical like condition,
mm-hmm.
on top of academics, but he was like that disciplinary.
Yeah.
And then my mom was more of like the friend that was just trying to like help me emotionally regulate like
mm-hmm.
those emotions that I was facing while going through everything. But yeah, and so I think like that already made me feel like, okay, like when it comes from your parents, it's like more so like, okay, there's something wrong, I need to fix it. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it was hard because I think what I wanted was like, yeah, whether you walk like that or not, like, you're still you, whatever, you know? But I think from a Korean parent perspective, all they want to do is like what they think is best.
Mm-hmm.
So what they think is best is like telling you, because no friend, even if you're close, is going to like tell you like as much as your parents would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's coming from a tough, like tough love kind of place,
mm-hmm.
but I think that was like emotionally a lot. And then like, I always felt like I was behind
mm-hmm.
because like my sister, she's came out quote unquote with no disability
mm-hmm.
and she was, you know, going about her life as a quote unquote normie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I had so many things against me, you know, like I had this disability, I'm going through growth spurts, you know, I'm being watched all the time. It's just like it plays on your psyche of like your self-confidence.
Yeah.
So I think I had a lot of self-confidence issues
mm-hmm.
For a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I was going to ask you about like as a kid, because like I feel like there's two sides of the coin where people say like kids are so brutally honest and
yeah.
kids can be so mean. But
yeah.
also sometimes they're like, oh, kids like don't see certain things
mm-hmm.
and they just see people and they can be so kind
mm-hmm.
and so you kind of see like both sides sometimes
yeah.
like in movies, like a kid who like will just go up to a kid with disability and just treat them like a normal kid, but
mm-hmm.
also sometimes you see kids who are like brutally honest, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? So I just wanted to know what your experience was like with peers growing
mm-hmm.
up, especially when it was so apparent, like when you're in a wheelchair, when you had braces, it was so apparent.
Yeah.
Like what your experience was like with friends and
uh-huh.
peers and treatment by mm-hmm. peers growing up, like whether you were bullied or whether you were
yeah.
not, like what that might have looked like.
I think it's been a mix of both. I've definitely had encounters where, you know, people, like in the movies and in just real life, people are mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also met some really kind-hearted people that are still my friends to this day, like that I met like from middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to those friends. Who know? So I think I got exposure to like those two different types. And I think even with that contrast, like it helped heal me a little bit of like, there's still good people in the world that, cause all I ever wanted was like, I wanted people to see me for me and not the disability first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, do with that what they will.
Yeah.
Instead of like making these productions,
mm-hmm.
and so that's been a hard thing to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say thank God there's good people out
yeah.
there that still see you for you, you know. And didn't make me feel like lacking or less than. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can go into like kind of adulthood
mm-hmm.
now, is like. Like, there was this one encounter with these friends of mine I'm really close to, and shout out to them. Once they hear the story, they'll know. But I had been friends with both of them for, like, over a year at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they never asked me, like,
mm-hmm.
hey, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, it's the elephant in the room. Like,
mm-hmm.
everyone and their mom, like, ever since I was young, asked me the question, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that comes from a place of love, but like, I have a very complex feeling towards that question because it's just like, on the one hand, it feels invasive. But on the other hand, it feels like you're asking the obvious.
Yeah.
So like, I'd rather you ask it than not ask it.
Yeah.
So it's like really complex. It's like, if people don't ask me the question that I know they want to ask,
yeah.
I'm like, why are you asking it?
Mm-hmm.
And then if they ask me, I'm like, why did you ask that?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's no winning of
yeah,
that
yeah.
situation. But these friends, like, they never asked me. And, like, it made me feel like, oh, like, that part of me is not really important.
Mm.
Like, that they don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember one time we went to go eat Thai food.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about life or something. And I brought it up naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, like, yeah, this thing. And I remember I asked them, like, how come you guys never asked me?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, like, we knew that when you felt ready, you would say something. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really feel the need. And that was, like, I felt like that was, like, a life-changing thing to hear, because I felt like it's something I needed that I never knew I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the emotional intelligence of that kind of response,
mm-hmm.
and, like, approach was so nice, because at that point, I'm, like, 20, like, in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
And so, for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
like, that was, like, one of the first times
mm-hmm.
someone did that, and
yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, that's so nice,
yeah.
because if you can just imagine every single day, whether I'm out, like, wherever,
mm-hmm.
someone's thinking it or someone's asking it,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to terms with it now, where it's, like, people are just curious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to, you know, it's a daily struggle, but, like, not take it as an offense, but just as a question, like a normal question, like, what colors, what's your favorite color?
Right.
Like, that kind of question. But, you know, every day it's, like, everyone has their good days and bad days.
Mm-hmm.
So on the good days, I'm, like, very, like, aware. But, like, on the bad days, it's, like, tough.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when you mix in, like, dating on top of that, too. It's like, damn, like, I feel like, on one hand, I have to overcompensate with my personality.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I'm so loud, or, like, you know, I'm so vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even in the way I dress,
yeah.
like, I like colors.
Mm-hmm.
I like loud, because I feel like, there's this expectation of, like, me shrouding, like,
mm-hmm.
or, like, being, like, very, like, made small, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, what I was told when I was younger is, like, you don't want to stick out even more,
mm-hmm.
because you already stick out with your disability.
Yeah.
Like, let's try to, like, tame that in. Like,
yeah.
that's what my parents would say. But
yeah.
I'm like, no, like, I want to stick out. Like,
yeah.
like, I want my clothes to express myself, and, you know, like, I want to do all these things. Like, I shouldn't have to make myself feel small for other people to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that's kind of, like, wrong.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know. So in, like, a dating sense, I feel like, I'm not being me, but I feel like my personality is doing a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
so that people can see how awesome
mm-hmm.
I am in that kind of context.
Yeah.
And so I saw a TikTok the other day where it was like, your brain works like 24/7 from the day you're born. And the only time it doesn't work is when you have a crush on somebody. And I'm like, that's so true. Because somehow, someone...
I thought you were going to say when you're asleep.
No, somehow, someone, when you like someone, your brain is shut off. You're like, what do I do again? Like,
so
what is
funny.
This? And so, like, imagine that kind of, like, thinking that you go through just, like, as a regular person who's
yeah.
trying to date.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'm like,
you're
okay.
already calculating, like...
Yeah. Like, okay, like, are they noticing the leg thing?
Yeah.
Like, are they uncomfortable? Like,
mm-hmm.
I always feel like I have to, like, make other people feel, like, comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I'm the butt of the joke, because before they even mention it, I'm already mentioning it for them so that,
mm-hmm.
like, it's not weird. Because
yeah.
I feel like some people find it, like, uncomfortable to bring it up because they don't want to, like,
they don't want to, like, hurt my feelings or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like there's a certain way to bring it up where
yeah.
it's not offensive, but it's also, like, you know. And
yeah.
I haven't found that sweet spot in a lot of people,
right.
but I know people are trying. But, yeah, so that makes that part of it complicated. Which, you know, like, I think I'm picky for a lot of different reasons, but
yeah.
I think that's one of them. Mm-hmm. To, like, you know, because I feel like not a lot of people can handle that. Because not a lot of people have been exposed to that kind of, like, individual,
because
mm-hmm. you know, everyone's surrounded by quote unquote, I'm gonna just call people in this episode normies, and it's like if you've been exposed to that your whole life, and then you walk up and you see someone that's not,
yeah,
you're like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, it takes an adjustment period,
yeah.
and unfortunately, with dating or whatever, like, you don't get that luxury of time,
yeah.
so it's just like someone just has to be emotionally, you know,
mm-hmm.
up there with me to understand, because it's a lot to handle.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like, you know, unfortunately, like, I have a lot of guilt towards, too. Like, now that I'm in my adulthood, and I think I mentioned this in previous episodes,
mm-hmm.
but, like, even the idea of having a kid, like, freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be very, like, I want kids, like, no question. But
mm-hmm.
now it's, like, I fear for, like, my imbalance. Like, oh, I can't carry this kid physically or, like, whatever. And, you know, people tell me all the time, like, okay, like, your husband, your future potential husband could carry a lot of the physical weight. But, like, I understand that. But also there's a lot of guilt that comes with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even with my friends, like, unbeknownst to them, I have a lot of guilt when it comes to, like, having them help me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I can just tell you a recent experience I had where I was coming back from a trip. So I was coming back from the LAX airport. And for people who are not from LA, there's like a shuttle you have to take to go to the actual like shared ride services area, you know, for your Ubers and Lyfts. And on the shuttle bus or any bus, there's like that priority seating for like handicapped or disabled people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this shuttle bus was getting full. And I think if you just look at me, I'm just normal looking, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm young, like, I have that kind of, like, nothing seems wrong with me when I'm just sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
But as the cars were getting full, there was, like, elderly people, like,
mm-hmm.
coming into the car.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only limited seats in the front. And so people were asking, like, okay, can you move so that these older people can...
Like, oh, so you were sitting down, and then...
I was sitting in a like, a priority seating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was coming from a long day of travel,
yeah,
and so
yeah.
I want to sit down, too.
Yeah.
But because,
they
like...
just see a young girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're like, can you move? And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, of course. Like, obviously, I'm more able than them, so,
mm-hmm.
like, I will move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more, like, that's right of me, right?
Yeah.
But there are times where, like, I do need the seat,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And I feel like, it's a complex situation because, like, when I'm traveling with friends, like, I was under this impression that I have to do it all. I have to prove to
yeah.
them and myself that I can do it. So I would overextend myself.
Mm.
And now I've gotten some conditions, like, from... my disability that like I actually need to take a lot of like the easier routes to things and ask for help. So now I feel like I have the liberty to ask. But like before I was like, no, like I can do it. Like
mm-hmm.
like disabled people or not, like we are the same. I can do whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
I was under that mindset where I was kind of like very hung up on that.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I also have these physical limitations and like conditions on top of that that are an after effect of like my main disability, like I in those cases I'm like, yeah, like I need to sit down too, but
yeah.
like it's not noticeable
mm-hmm.
unless I'm standing and walking
mm-hmm.
so it's just like a weird like thing because
it's just a lot to constantly navigate
that yeah
your typical normies don't have to
yeah
in their day-to-day life
yeah because I can like now, I don't know if this is true, but just based on expression,
mm-hmm.
there was, like, a couple across from me that were also, like, in the priority seating,
mm-hmm.
and it could just be my projection, but I felt like they were judging me because they were like, why is she sitting there?
Right, right.
You know? But I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you don't know. Like,
yeah,
I also am like you, but,
mm-hmm.
but I still think an older person, like, deserves it on before myself because
right.
I'm still somewhat capable.
Mm-hmm.
But I do get tired quickly,
mm.
so it's, like, especially on, like, a travel, like,
mm.
like, I can't walk as much as I used to, so I have to always Uber more or, like, get more rides and, you know, to get myself around.
Mm.
And I found cheat codes in, like,
mm.
how to, like, navigate, you know, for work trips or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And even my friends, I feel like there's a lot of adjustments
mm-hmm.
people have to make. So, like, even people who travel with me...
Mm.
I feel kind of guilty because, you know, let's say a normie person goes with a normie person, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can walk 10 miles
mm-hmm.
and save money that way, right? And I can also walk maybe 5 miles, but, like, my legs are shot, you know? And I'll need massages every day after that. But,
yeah.
Or I can take cars, Ubers, throughout my trip to make the walk a little bit less
mm-hmm.
and kind of even it out.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about that is, like, everything's a monetary cost,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, anyone who travels with me will have to understand that, okay, like, it may be a little bit more expensive because I need to take cars.
Yeah.
You know, so I also feel like this obligation of, like, because people are writing cars for me, like, I'll help cover the cost. You know, so I feel like I'm covering for a lot of my limitations through monetary. And, you know, I just feel, I don't know, it's like a big burden to ask for people too.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm happy to cover it, but it's just, like, that extra thought I have to think about too of, like, you know, like, yeah, like, it's been tough, but, like, God has given me these avenues to where I can still enjoy life, but, like, you know, the emotional impact that it caused that took 20 plus years to kind of overcome was tough, but, like, made it out the other side.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of, like, mental gymnastics that goes into my day-to-day interactions.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I don't realize how exhausting it was until, like, I had to come to terms with it a couple times and, like really kind of, like, understand that, like, wow, like, whoever comes into contact with me, it's, like, it's going to be at work. It's going to be extra work. And so even when it comes to, like, my future husband, let's say, if that, like, yeah, I can cover it physically, but then it's, like, there's something about, like, you know, carrying your kid on your own that, like, creates a bond. And I feel like maybe I'm just projecting early, but, like, all those things, I'm like, it's going to be less than, you know, or, like, yeah, my husband can cover it, but I feel bad. You know, it's just, like, all these things. And so, like, I think for a lot of my life, like, I walked through it feeling bad. And I think we covered this early on in the beginning of the season of, like, how we met. But I remember, I don't know if we went into detail, but I remember, like, when we first met, like, that was, like, a weird time in my life. I was still kind of not as self-confident in myself. And so one time we were new roommates, right? So everyone's meeting each other for the first time. This is freshman year. And one of the first things we did was, like, go to the cafeteria at college. Because, you know, it's what you do when you want to bond with people. And our cafeteria was, like, outside of our dorm. So it was a kind of a bit of a walk.
Yeah.
And I was so used to, like, walking behind people. Because I didn't want people to, like, stare at me. So, like, I just would walk behind naturally. Because, like, it just gave me a couple seconds to be at peace without people having to, like, judge that so outwardly. And I remember, like, there was one evening, like, after that where, like, Lois was questioning me. She's like, oh, like, why are you, like, always so chipper, number one, and also, like, walking behind, like, what's your deal, I guess.
And I think, said, what's your deal?
Not what's your deal, exactly, but kind of shorthandedly, like,
okay.
That's what was expressed. And, yeah, I think, like, that was kind of interesting for me because no one ever approached me in that way. And, when I was younger, like, in my, like, high school to college days, like, I was always, like, on, like, joy, 24/7 joy, because I felt like sadness and anger were, like, wasted emotions, because I felt like I knew what those felt like, to feel so sad and, like, whatever, that I didn't want other people to experience those emotions. So whatever I could do to, like, be positive and help people, like, that was, like, my shtick. And so, like, I was always a chipper and, like, whatever. And I remember she said, like, it was, like, one of those late nights. It was, like, 2 a.m. or something. We were just talking till late.
Yeah.
And one of the questions, like, Lois asked was, like, you don't have to be happy all the time. And I was, like, whoa. You know? And it was just, like, weird to come to terms with that, like head on. Like, someone just talking about that. And, like, saying, like, oh, like, you don't have to, like, walk behind people. Da-da-da. Like, something like that. And I was just, like, it was, like, really nice at that time because I felt like it was like my armor, right? Like I had built these defense mechanisms for so many years that I was just used to doing things.
Yeah.
And so when you brought it up like out of the blue at a random night, like at 2 a.m. and then we also talked about God on top of that, I was like, whoa. And I think for me, like that was like a turning point in our friendship as new friends too, of like, oh dang, like she saw right through my, like, my mask or whatever. I felt, like, vulnerable, you know? Because I felt like you and our other mutual friend were, like, two temples in my, like, life at that point where, like, you were kind of, like, peeling back the layers of whatever mask I was, like, putting up.
Yeah.
And it was kind of freeing, but it took, like, time
mm-hmm.
to get there.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, that was, like, one pillar, like, that has built a strong foundation in our friendship for me. And, yeah, every time now in my adulthood when I meet new people, like, there are certain people that I just know and I will just click with. Like,
yeah.
oh, they're this kind of person that,
yeah.
like, will accept me for who I
yeah.
am. Or, like,
yeah.
they don't judge. Like,
yeah.
like, I really gravitate towards those
yeah.
people, and it's, like, very natural where
yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, like, you know, at this point in our life, we're, like, we're grown,
yeah.
right? And, like, being grown, there's, like, emotional maturity that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And navigating things,
yeah.
like, treading things lightly. And so I respect it when, like, I see it in people.
Yeah.
But also, I am very empathetic towards people who just don't know.
Yeah.
And they're just asking, like,
yeah.
because they don't know how else to phrase
mm-hmm.
it. So, like, I also have grace towards those people, too, because I know it's not out of malicious intent.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still trying to navigate the difference between when it's malicious and when it's not.
Yeah.
And then when it's just really, like, out of curiosity because they don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think what's hard for me now in my adulthood is, like, having to come to terms with the fact that, like, this is something that I'll live with forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the questions, the
mm-hmm.
thoughts, they will never stop.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about it. I think
mm-hmm.
that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
Because people are going to think what they want to think.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And,
you
like,
control.
I have to let that go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so funny. So, when I used to go to therapy, my therapist was like, oh, you like to control, like, you're kind of, like, type A. And I was like, what? Because I'm very P in my personality. Like, I don't like planning. I'm very, like, good with the flow. So I'm like, what do you mean I like to control things? It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there could be two truths. Like, I think in my day-to-day life, like, I'm just, like, woo, free-flowing, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think because there's something in my life that I can't control, like, there's ways that I try to control it,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know, trying to control what people think,
yeah.
trying to, like, delay, you know, their thought process
yeah.
by doing certain actions, like
mm-hmm.
how I did when I was in college, walking behind people. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, I used to, my gosh, even during dates, I used to, like, do a little white lie.
Mm, yeah.
So I would, like, be like, maybe, like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, I just hurt myself, like, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
buy myself a week. So that they can understand who I am as a person
mm.
and, like, maybe fall in love with that first.
Yeah.
So I was doing the absolute most. I'm still doing the absolute most in different ways. But, dude, like, even that, I was like,
yeah.
wow, like, the fact that I had to do that to protect myself made me feel kind of sad. Like,
yeah.
looking back now, I'm like, dang, like, how insecure did I feel that I felt, like, the need to do that
mm.
to feel accepted by people?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, because you, I feel like we've touched on how you kind of have, like, people-pleaser tendencies.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where the control piece comes from. It's that, like, I, and knowing you, like, you have a tendency to get hung up on, if you feel that another person thinks a certain way about you
mm-hmm.
that you don't like, you,
yeah.
like, you lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
Like, you even think, like, you don't even know for certain that they think that,
yeah.
but for some reason, you're like, oh, shoot, I think they think that I'm this, 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 this,
yeah.
and you're like, I don't want them to think that way about me.
Yeah.
Like, you lose sleep over it. And, like, and I think to prevent that from happening, you do the whole people-pleasing thing of, like, I want to make sure they get
yeah.
this out of me, they like me, they feel, they see me in a certain way,
yeah.
like, you know?
I feel like, and this is so funny you're bringing that up, because it's exactly what I brought up to, like, my Pilates instructor, because it's, like, my part-time therapy session.
Uh-huh.
And I was mentioning that, because we're similar in personality, and I was mentioning how, like, I get really riled up when I feel like people are not getting the correct picture of me
mm-hmm.
or who I think I am.
Yeah.
If it's a little bit skewed, I'm like, wait, let me correct it. Let
yeah.
me correct the course.
Yeah.
And, like, when I can't, I feel like I'm losing balance.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
no, like,
yeah.
this is not, like, I don't want people to walk around with this incorrect version of who they think I am.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I can't control that, I'm like, dang, they're just
mm-hmm.
going to walk around life thinking this way
yeah.
about me, but it's not me.
Yeah.
You know? And that, like, don't know, it's like a psychological thing. I'm like, it really messes with me, but I'm like, I think the lesson is like letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And letting go is really tough.
Yeah.
So I guess in that way I am controlling of myself, I guess. So maybe that's why I'm also a P in life, because I'm like, I need to balance the gym.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm already, my mental gymnastics with this,
yeah.
not everything else I'm doing.
Yeah, just like, shh.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I feel like it's interesting because in my world, I'm considered able-bodied, right? Because there's a lot of people who have it worse than I. You know, they're physically, like, always going to be in a wheelchair, or, like, they are not vocal. They need, like, that extra assistance. And I remember I used to volunteer at, like, a physical therapy place for kids because I used to be a patient. And during high school, I wanted to get those credits. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be a volunteer, you know? I'll be a Korean translator. And knowing me, I can't speak Korean at all. So it was, like, very, like, broken. But this mom, I remember to this day, this mom and her daughter came in. And she had the same condition as me. And she had braces on her legs. And in physical therapy, there's, like, certain actions you do to get tested. So she was walking up down the stairs. Like, you had to walk back and forth in a line and, like, get things checked. And I remember when she was doing her evaluation, like, I was sitting with her mom, and she was saying to me, like, if my daughter gets anywhere near to how you walk, I'll be happy with that. And I was like, whoa, because I wasn't even happy with where I was at.
Because
I wasn't, quote-unquote, 100%. And I was like, whoa, like, I'm, like, a pillar for someone else's family to be, like, you know? And that was really interesting for me because it's, like, in that physical therapy place, you see people with all different kinds of disabilities. And, like, it's weird to see, like, how immobile and unable people are of different conditions and how they're navigating through it. Because, you know, there's, like, a assisted school within that physical therapy place where, you know, people can come to play. Assisted, of course, but they're actually playing while they're getting checked. So it's like these little things. And I even catch myself, like, out in public now, like, when I see somebody who, you know, has a little bit of a limp, I'm like, oh, okay, like, yeah, like, I can even, like, catch it right away. And, like, even when I'm looking at someone from behind and I see that, I'm also thinking, like, oh, I hope they're okay, you know?
Yeah.
And so even I catch myself saying those questions in my head that, like, I can't fault people for asking me that. But it's something different when it's yourself, you know? Like, logically, I understand why people are asking me that because, you know, they may feel bad and it's just a natural question. But when it's, like, your own thing, it's like your baby. You're, like, you're a little bit more sensitive towards it. And I think everyone in life has, like, a different trigger point. And I think under the wrong mindset, that could be a trigger point for me. Like, so it's, like, a very, like, touchy area for me that I just want to, like, be even more advanced than I am now. I feel like I've grown a lot where, like, it's affected me less, but I want to be at a place where it's, like, 100%, you know, it's just, like, whether sticks and stones are thrown, I'm like, whatever. But right now, it's, like, if sticks and stones are thrown, I'm like, ooh, ah, you know, a little bit. But before, I'd be, like, bawling.
So I was going to ask you, like, and it's okay if, like, you're still, and it sounds like you're still navigating and, like, growing into it, but I wanted to ask if there was a certain, maybe not a moment, but when do you recall you started to feel the transition of feeling less ashamed or feeling less, like feeling more proud and more confident in, like, who you were and, like, in addressing your disability and things like that? Like, where do you feel like, if there was a shift? Because I feel like there was, but
I feel like that's an interesting question. And I think, very good question, but I think the shift happened for me, like, when I started to exceed people's expectations.
Mm.
So one of my expectations that my parents and my family had of me of like, will she be able to succeed in life?
Mm.
Because that was their worry. Like,
yeah.
When they're not there, will she be okay?
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, honestly, I feel like God just led me down a path in career where I felt very firm.
Mm.
And so once I started navigating the career choices and career advancements, I was starting to think like, oh yeah, like I'm good at my job.
Mm.
But also like, I know your job isn't supposed to be like your everything, but it gave me like a foundation of like strength.
Mm.
Of like, yeah, people cannot walk all over me because I've found a path where like I'm good at something and no one can take that away from me, right? Because even when I was going into college, like my sister, she went to UC Berkeley, right?
Mm.
And I went to UC Riverside, and I remember, like, you know, Riverside versus Berkeley, it's a little bit less. And so I always felt like I was competing with my sister because
mm.
I was like, okay, like, I have to be up to her level or better
mm.
for my parents to feel at ease.
Mm.
And so whatever I did in my life, it was to prove them
mm.
wrong and myself that, like, yes, I can do this and, like, I can still succeed at life.
Mm.
Like, don't give up
mm.
on me kind of thing. And so I remember, like, when I was waitlisted at a different school and I didn't get there. I didn't get there or
mm.
go there for different reasons.
Mm.
And I went to Riverside. I was like, okay, well, because I also went to a very competitive high school
yeah.
where you had to be tested to get in.
Yeah.
And so there was these tentacles in my life where I'm
mm.
like, okay, like, I did this, passed it, exceeded people's expectations of what my limitations would be. Like, it kept exceeding different
yeah.
pillars where
yeah.
I was like, okay, like, I'm doing it, you know?
Mm.
And then even when I graduated college, I was like, okay, like, I don't know where I'm going to be, but, like, this is the path I chose. Like, let's just go for it.
Yeah.
And my personality is very, like, risk-taker,
mm-hmm.
especially in career. So I was just going for things. And, like, little by little, as, like, those capabilities were being revealed and, like, God was kind of healing, like, a, like you were meant for more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I never believed in that
mm-hmm.
for a long time. And
yeah.
I always believe, like, okay, like, my limitation is my ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started to, like, dream for more, and those dreams were coming into my reality. I'm like, oh, like, despite all the hardships that I've gone through, like, God had a plan all the time, this whole time,
mm-hmm.
because nothing I could have imagined, like, would have been anywhere near what God had planned for me in my life and where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I've made these advancements and my parents started to, like, back off a little bit, and, like, I could see in their face, like, they're at peace, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of, like, settled me, too, where I'm like, okay, I handled that aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just need to handle, like, the inner workings of
yeah.
my own, like, insecurities that
yeah.
I had built up from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like, went through therapy, like, I, like, after college, like, I grew up atheist, but after college, you know, and Lois and my encounter, like, I started going to church. I started, like, doing these things for me and, you know, being surrounded by a loving community at my church, like, thank God. Like, I think a lot of it isn't just, like, my own. It was, like, really, like, God just introducing me to people and, like, exposing me to different things throughout my life that, like, started to heal that, like, you are not enough. Like, mindset,
yeah.
I'm like, because I'm like, I'm surrounded by people who like tell me like great things, like, you
yeah.
know, like, wow, Irene, you have energy for two people, you know, and like that for me is a good thing, too, because
yeah.
like, as a disabled person, you would think, like, oh, like, she can't do X, she can't do Y, you know,
mm.
but the fact that I have energy for more than two people, like, because I'm just, you know, I'm buzzing,
yeah.
Like, I'm kind of like, yeah, I can stick it out. Because, like, I have my quote-unquote normie friends who are like, it's 10 p.m. and they're exhausted. I'm like, no, I'm still going, you know? And I'm like, see, like, my physical limitations doesn't limit me at all. Like, I think a future thing I want to do is a TED Talk in the future of, like, like kind of dismantling people's thoughts of what a disabled person can do. That's been my whole like life mission of like proving people wrong of like what they think that we can do. Like,
yeah.
We can do what you think and more, and I hope my life is a testament to that. Like, if like, you know, I die in the future and there's a book written about me, I hope it's about that. Like, like, never judge a book by its cover, because look at what, you know, she did.
Mm.
Similar to, like, Helen Keller, right?
Mm.
She was blind, but she did so much, and she also won prizes for her brilliance, but, like, you know, she didn't give up on herself, and, like, that's kind of, like, what I want to do, where I just don't give up on myself and keep going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in a lot of those aspects, like, I've healed a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But relationship is, like, a different sector.
I mean, that's just, as a typical human being, like, human it's so
being,
hard
yeah.
to navigate.
Whether you have it or not,
yeah.
it's difficult. Yeah, so it's been, like,
mm-hmm.
a fun journey of, like,
yeah.
Me kind of coming out of my cocoon
mm-hmm.
and, like learning to love myself
mm-hmm.
in different ways,
yeah.
you know? Because, yeah, it used to be very dark.
Yeah.
I used to, like, not want to be here, which
mm-hmm.
is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think for those who believe, like, honestly, I feel like God's plans were greater, and, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I made it here this far. And anything I do from here on out is, you know, for that younger me
mm.
that was in self-doubt,
yeah.
like sad, like feeling not worthy,
mm-hmm.
like all those things.
Yeah.
Like, I would go through all those things again if it
mm-hmm.
meant I would be here,
yeah.
you know? But, yeah, I just hope, like, my story is, like, an encouragement to people, you know, whatever you're going through, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, to not give in.
Mm-hmm.
And just to keep pushing and be surrounded by people, loved ones, and, like, make sure to, like, I think venting is also important. Like, you know, letting it out
mm-hmm.
and doing what you need to do to make sure you're in a good headspace.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even though, like, my parents' concerns, like, were warranted, it did cause pain, but like without their support I wouldn't be here either.
Yeah.
And like, shout out to my sister too, because when I was going through a hard time, like early COVID, like 2019, she was the one that was like, hey, like I can help you, like
mm-hmm.
let me like get you some therapy sessions, because mm-hmm. I had talked about like wanting to go to therapy, but I felt like I wasn't a normal case that needed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I don't need it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept pushing it off, and yeah, I think, like, her support in that, like, changed me,
mm-hmm.
and, yeah, I'll forever be indebted to her for, like, giving me that, because that also helped, and also, like, the friends I've made along the way that, like, have been with me for, like, 10 years or even less, like, I don't know, every good friend I've had in my life, like, they've really changed me for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the For Good. The song for anyone who knows, Wicked's coming out soon. We're big fans, but yeah. So yeah, it's been quite a wavy journey, but
yeah.
it's been an interesting one.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I just like off the bat want to validate a couple of things that you said. Like the first thing being how you felt like you exceeded people's expectations, especially
mm-hmm.
your parents,
mm-hmm.
and felt at peace with that. It's like I felt like I've been a witness to that myself,
mm-hmm.
like me seeing you like move up in your career and like boss girl it, girl boss it so hard, like working for Google and TikTok and like, you know, just like AT&T, like all the big, you know,
mm-hmm.
like companies and like getting promotions and all that. For me, it's just been like such a like joy to experience
mm-hmm.
as a friend and witness that.
Okay.
And just being like, dude, like, and I, like, that's, like, the stuff I wanted you to share, and, like, especially on this pod, too, of, like, I want people to see that, too, because, like, I don't want people to just see this, like, happy-go-lucky, like, bubbly
yeah.
girl,
yeah.
or the girl with the disability, right? I want to see, like, all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want other people to see all the other things that you've achieved. But also, like, touch on, like,
the friends that you talked about, like, that's something I see, too, so, like, strongly that I feel like is so special to you is, like, you're known for your birthdays every year. Like, we gather, and I'm like, oh, I know you because of Irene's birthday, but I see you every other year, like, kind of thing. But it's, like, I think what's so special is that I see a common theme and thread amongst these girls that are surrounding you, and boys, too, that everyone's so kind, and everyone is so sweet, and just, like, and when you said, like, oh, like, I just know if I'm going to vibe with someone or not, I see that, too, with the people that you surrounded yourself with, and I'm, like, so grateful for that, because I think I felt, like, protective of you for a while, maybe in college, of, like, oh, shoot, like, not everyone's gonna, you know, but then, like, I started to not worry, you know, seeing, like, oh, Irene has so many good friends. She's good. Like, you know, so I feel like a sense of gratitude for that too. And feel proud of you for like surrounding yourself with people that are good, in your life. Yeah. But yeah, those are like my little, you know.
Thank you. And yeah, thank you for being a part of my life and also like being a part of this story. She's part of my testimony for a reason. But before we close off, I do want to mention, because you're also a sped teacher, and what's cool is coming soon, there's going to be a show called Out of Mind on Disney Plus, which is about a girl with autism and like a disability.
No, I think she has cerebral palsy.
And cerebral palsy, yeah. Autism and cerebral palsy or something like that. And I was like screaming at Lois, because like that kind of storyline, I can't even imagine, right? And I feel like we're becoming more progressive in that way, where like someone with a disability is the lead cast. I don't know if she actually does, but like at least in the story, she's the lead cast. So like, what are your thoughts, hearing from my story and hearing, you know, they're making shows about people of disability and also you being a teacher in that space? Like, what are your thoughts in general?
On disability and representation? That's such a weird question. But I think, I mean, I would hope to see more representation in the media. And it's hard for me to say as a neurotypical able-bodied person. But I think, if anything, what I wish for the general public is just more education. And why, and I guess to touch on why representation is important, because an accurate representation is important, because I think education and awareness is so important. Because I think a lot of people always say to me, like, you're so patient. Like, how do you do your job?
I've said that too.
How do you, you know? And I think, I don't like to say this, but I do think it takes a level of patience, and I do think it takes a level of empathy, and kind of like, it takes a certain type of person, I guess, to work in this field. But at the end of the day, it comes down to like education and like awareness. People are like, you're so patient. I'm like, no, I'm not patient. I just know I can sit through this tantrum because he has autism and because he's triggered by XYZ, or like he's acting this way because XYZ. Like, I'm able to sit through these things and like deal with certain behaviors because I know why it's happening, or can hypothesize why it's happening. And so I think that's just what I wish the public would know a little bit more. And I just, wish for more accurate representation, because I think for so long, disability representation in the media has been very stereotypical and very, like,
in what way?
In a box. Like, I think everyone still to this day, when they think of a person with autism, like, oh, like Rain Man, right? Like, he's a genius. Like, they think of someone in the media who's, like, you know, like, the genius, like, super good at math, but also, like, can't speak and can't socialize. But it's, like, that's really one person. And there's, like, a saying that says, like, if you met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. Like, I'm glad that people are, like, oh, like, in that movie, right? But it's, like, okay, but that's literally just that person.
And it's, like, glamorized.
Yeah, and I just feel like people don't understand that it's a spectrum, and same goes for your disability, right? Like, any disability, there's a spectrum, and yeah, I think
it's important for people to ask questions and for people to be curious, and which is why I'm glad you brought up, like, you know, some, it's hard to always answer the questions, and it shouldn't be your job to constantly do the work for other people. But I still implore people to be curious.
Yeah.
I still implore people to try to learn, right? And ask the hard questions, because how else are you going to, you know, like, figure it out, right? So that's my little spiel. I can go on and on and on, but...
What, like, inspired you to, like, get into the field where, you know, you have to be very specialized? Because coming from someone with, like, a normal background, like, what was the pull?
I think, so it's funny, I don't know, like, there was, like, a sermon today, but I'll try to, like, concise it. But I think for me, I've always felt a draw to the community, to the disability community, and I actually didn't know why for a long time. And I still feel kind of like it's, like, a very special kind of just calling thing, whatever you want to call it. But I think, if anything, from my life experience that does play impact is when I was in elementary school, I moved from Cerritos, which was primarily Asian American community, to Brea. At the time, was predominantly a white community, and I was, like, maybe one of two Asians in my class. And that was a big jump for me, being, like, a fourth grader, going to a community where I was like, whoa, that's when I, like, realized I was a minority and realized I was, like, other. And I felt very small, and I felt very ostracized. Not that people were being mean to me, but I just noticed that I was so different. And I had a mean girls moment where I lunched in the bathroom. I know. And then I moved on from that and kind of, like, eventually made friends, but I still struggled for a while to make friends and, like, get comfortable in my own skin. But I always think back on that moment of how other I felt and how different I felt. And how it was because of something I couldn't control, which was how I looked on the outside, my genetics, my ethnicity, right? And so although I don't have a disability, I have an experience where I felt less than and where I felt different and where I felt small because of something I couldn't control, something that I was born with, aka my looks. And so I always fall back on that a little bit of, like, a moment of empathy that I have. But yeah, I mean, long story short, that's kind of, like, you know, eventually, like, that got channeled into, like, serving the disability community and stuff like that. So
that's... how did you like your experience, doing Best Buddies? And if, for people who don't know, Best Buddies is, like, a chapter, at colleges that helps people with, various disabilities.
Yeah.
It's a special club.
Yeah. So that was a big, learning curve and experience as well. So because I felt drawn to this community, I didn't know how to help or be involved until I discovered a club called Best Buddies. And I learned a lot through that, because through that experience, I actually got to work a lot with adults with disabilities, which is, like, a completely different, I feel like, just learning curve of, like, interactions, relationship, and things like that, at that scale. But yeah, I think just learning about, like, job inclusion, what relationships look like for adults with disability, and, like, what life looks like for an adult who's looking for a job, who's just trying to, like, have fulfilling relationships with other people.
Shout out to Live on the Spectrum.
There's, like, a lot of good representation, I feel like, these days, like that show and other things. So yeah, I think I learned a lot through that, and then eventually landed in the classroom where I'm learning every single day what it means to serve this population and be a good advocate for this population. So yeah, that's kind of
good.
My life, my role.
Last question for you is, what are some misconceptions that you had that you, going through these experiences and being my friend, that, like, you also kind of learned?
I don't, man, there's so much. I think professionally, and calling-wise, like, growing up, or, like, as I started going in this direction of feeling like this was my quote-unquote calling, I had a very naive, like,
approach of like, I want to be a voice to the voiceless. I want to be a hand to the helpless. And I was like, wow, that's such a horrible savior mentality mindset to have.
Coming from a good place.
Yeah, coming from a good place. But yeah, the more I met more disabled people, I was like, oh shit, you know, like these people have a voice. Like we're the ones silencing them. And for me to say, I want to be a voice for the voiceless was so like, yeah, just a superiority complex and just like a savior mindset that I think was very wrong to have. And just learning that, like, no, these people have something to say. It's a matter of listening to them. It's a matter of meeting them where they're at and learning how to be an ally and an advocate. But also, like, knowing that, again, disability is a spectrum and the experience is such a spectrum. And, like, seeing your experience and, like, you know, there are people who live with a disability who are like, I want to be seen more than my disability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
yeah.
that's all power to you. That's how you want to live and that's how you want to, like, prove other people wrong. Like, go for it. And then there are other people who are like, my disability is my superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want people to see my disability.
Mm-hmm.
That this is what makes me who I am.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing, too.
Yeah.
And some people live with a mix of both,
mm-hmm.
right? And live with the tension of both,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. But I think that's what I learned a lot
mm-hmm.
through, like, my friendship with you and
mm-hmm.
seeing your, like, you navigating your life in that
mm-hmm.
way.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
That is very unique to the person.
It really is unique to the person. I don't think it's our job to tell a person with a disability how to approach how they view their disability
mm-hmm.
and what their life experience should look like.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's
yeah.
my, you know.
I mean, do we talk about the perks though? Like, okay, so some of the
hello,
perks,
ADA,
you know, priority seating at concerts, which we've experienced, Disneyland, you know, you can cut the line. So being a friend of a disabled person, there are some perks. Let me get that straight. Oh, also the handicap placard, which I don't even have. You can park anywhere. You don't even have to pay for that. For the meters, obviously. But I still haven't done that. But
yeah.
there are some perks you find along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just you gotta make light of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess I wanna close though by asking you one final question,
okay.
which is what's a message you would have
mm-hmm.
for your younger self? Or what's something you wish you could tell your younger self now that you're in your 30s,
yeah.
thriving.
Yeah. I would say there's more to life than this, than what you're experiencing right now. And as cliche as it sounds, like, there is a light, you know, at the end of that tunnel of darkness. Like, as cliche as it also sounds, like, don't give up. Because I feel like when, you know, you're in a dark spot, all you see are dark clouds.
Yeah.
And what you see, like, around you, you think that's the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And even with all this, you know, complex emotions, it's been interesting to navigate because I've had extreme lows and extreme highs. And, yeah, I actually wouldn't trade it. Like, for the longest time, I was like, and I think I told you this too and other friends, I was like, I just want to live a normie day for one day, just to know what it's like and, like, to be at peace. And that's what I used to always say. But now in my life, I'm like, no, I kind of like this, you know, with all the added perks that come along with it. And I kind of equate it to, like, everyone has something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God just gave it to me for some reason. And I'm learning to navigate it on a daily basis. But I think that's it. Like, trying not to, like, think too deeply into it for too long,
mm.
but to just keep swimming, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll cheers on that note with our Pino.
Cheers.
But yeah, thank you for sharing today, Reen. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And until the next one.
Bye.
Bye.